Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Happy Monday, everyone.
Good morning or good evening. Hi.
Hey, Paul.
Hi,
How was your
Tom.
weekend?
Great, but overwhelming with a lot of rain. How was yours?
No rain here. It was actually quite nice. But thank you
Great.
for asking.
How's the snow, Jennifer?
it's snowing horizontally right now.
Oh, blizzard. Yes.
So it's gonna snow all day. I haven't shoveled out my car.
So I'm searching for the meeting notes for today. Oh, where are you? Oh, we didn't have a draft version for today's meeting. Is that right? I see the meeting notes from the 9th. And today, Steve said he could make the notes, but we need a duplicate. Oh, that one. Sorry for that. Steve, can I send you the new meeting notes for today? The link would be right here. Are you prepared for taking notes? Yeah, okay, thank you. Good, for today's agenda, we have had one input from Petra Schneider, Martina Schmidt, and me for our brainstorming and thinking process, and a short discussion on what or how can trainings be a member benefit? Or can they? And we also have on the agenda for today WIFCON update from Jennifer Houston and Eustace, sorry, and Jesse. I don't see Jesse
I
right
know he's
there.
coming. He might be a little late.
Okay, no problem. That's why we start with trainings. And the third agenda item was member subcommittee and the review and also the feedback from the group. But we have to postpone that for the next meeting because a lot of members from that group are not cannot make this meeting today. Sorry for that. But so, if you know, that are two agenda items for today. Do we have anything else from this group for today?
Not today.
Okay, great. So we start with the training, brainstorming.
Okay. Do you
Okay,
want me
thank
to
you,
get
Martina.
started? Yeah.
Yeah, you've been
Okay.
awesome. Thank you.
Perfect. Okay, I will present some slides that represent our thinking process and our process. That's Petra Schneider's, our Kloppenborg's, and mine. I will share the slides in a second, and we can make them available definitely after the call. We are a small group that is thinking about a concept on folio training program to give special benefits for membership. And we are not presenting a concept, but our considerations. And I will present quickly what we thought about in the past weeks, and we start with the benefits and accessibility. So we were asking the question, what benefits can I expect as a member when we talk about that training should be a benefit? And like the main point is that general training content is really accessible. So for instance, if institutions present their demos, their workflows in SIG meetings, those meetings are recorded, and this is something that wouldn't be a benefit specifically to members because this is really freely accessible. And I think we wouldn't want to make that like or put it after behind a paywall because this is like really something that is shared in an open community. The benefit could be there that we collect or someone collects this freely accessible material and makes it available somewhere centrally where only members have access to. What else could be a benefit when we talk about trainings for members? The many institutions that implement Folio produce training materials for themselves and their libraries and for their users. But then we were wondering, is this something that's too specific because it may be very focused to the individual institution? Talking, for instance, for our network of 200 libraries, when we do trainings, this is really about Folio working in our circumstances with the union catalog and so on and so forth. And then, second question, is there re really added value in watching a 3-hour video from another institution, or maybe even several 3-hour videos from other institutions? So, and relevant question that we want to ask, and maybe we can talk about today, are what could be a minimum consensus in terms of workload and provision of training? So if you would do something that would be more greater than something that we just collect that has already been presented. So if you would specifically do trainings for members on request, that would be a very high workload. So that would be the question, is that something that we think we can provide and we want to provide? What can we do with existing materials? That's what I mentioned earlier with we have freely accessible material. Can we make that available in a central space? And how would we make these benefits or trainings accessible to only members? Because like the general wiki space is freely accessible to everyone. Then we asked the question, what is helpful and can be shared? So what was helpful for other libraries, for us, what that was shared amongst the community? And we listed here some things that we thought have been helpful in the past for us at least. There was from the Bavarian Network an overview of specific fields and material and for acquisitions, or there was a recording by the University Library Regensburg on tags. Or there are some Stanford trainings that are publicly available as well. We have a documentation as the mere field description. That is already very helpful. That's the Folio Docs documentation. And we have often live reports and practical presentations of practical workflows in the different special interest groups that are available via the recordings of those groups. How and where can we share? We need a safe space within the community if we want to use these kinds of materials. And the benefit is only there if these are only accessible to members. If it's just a list of available resources that are accessible to everyone, then that's not a benefit for members. thoughts for discussion that we would like to talk about with this group? What are we aiming for? And what do we mean by training? Because we thought when we talk about trainings as something that you do as a video and then provide to a specific group, that may be like this 3-hour thing. Is this really a benefit if you need to watch a 3-hour demonstration of someone else? So we were talking about, do we mean only training videos? Are we talking about training snippets maybe? Because sometimes it's easier to watch something very specific on, like, how do I delete an agreement line? With this, we could address special interest groups and ask for things that are already available, and maybe ask the SIGs to list them on their conference pages. But with a paywall on these specific training videos and snippets, where are we heading? Like, do we really want to put that behind a paywall? Then specific training courses that you do on demand, that's very time consuming and very resource consuming. What we thought could be very helpful as a benefit are something like training concepts or like special exercises that you can give your users so that they can exercise using the system. Like, how does your concept work if you train your users, if you train your libraries? That could be something really helpful, and that would be something that you could look at and read instead of watching a video. Or maybe we could expand the existing documentation, like documentation for general workflows. That might be something that is already available for by specific institutions already, that we could just collect and list somewhere. Always the question, is that conceivable? And then what is really asked for, I think, is how do apps interact? So if we could have kind of documentation on that, that would also be very helpful. But we seem to be quite a way off that. Release notes are made available, but we could think about like making them easier accessible. Like when I talk about our German libraries, for instance, we are translating these release notes and we are only like providing those that are needed. Maybe we are adding specific use cases so that they know what they need to do with the release notes. That could be something that has added value for members or like for everyone. What we always have to have in mind is that the concept that we need to change and update materials, and that will be a lot of work because like with every release, like there is then specific functionality that won't be accurate anymore, or that the description of that functionality won't be accurate anymore. So from our perspective, what we provide here needs to be not too complicated and shouldn't consume too many resources from this group or the responsible group. So it has to remain feasible because otherwise it won't live for very long, was our thinking. And that's the thoughts that we have discussed in our subgroup. I will briefly check with Paul and Petra. Did I forget anything, or do you want to emphasize something specifically?
No, everything was said.
1 point. Thank you, Martina. For me, maybe emphasizing something was that was my perspective in my consortia. We do a lot of training material or reuse a lot of training material from other institutions, and that's perfect, and I love it. And for us, or for me, there was a perspective evolving during our conversation with Petra and Martina to have something like a, and you said it, Martina, a safe space to share all this material, because my colleagues and team shows their faces, have a lot done there, and I think it would also be a positive, space for being enabled or feeling good about sharing all this material our community has. So that's what I want to emphasize. But I think would be a lovely idea to have something like a training overview for minimal consents, or something to have as members to share, or a room to share all this material we have as a community.
And maybe briefly something I think you mentioned as well, Paul, was the AI thing, so that or maybe midterm to long term using artificial intelligence in some way or other is something we could just think about, but that wouldn't be something that we could use right now. And so, yeah. So what are your thoughts? Any first reactions on what, yeah, the questions that we've raised?
I'll go. First of all, I want to say thank you for putting this together. This was informative. I'm still kind of, I think my biggest hang up about this whole thing is, given the fact that we rely so much on volunteers, how would we create such a robust library of material and keep it up to date? This folio is so agile that it's constantly changing. I think the difficulty is going to be creating some sort of a model by which we can get people to create the content and then keep it current, because the value proposition completely vanishes if we're trying to hand people 2 or 3 year old documentation. It just doesn't, no one's going to appreciate that. So I think that's my biggest concern, is how do we make this sustainable?
Yeah, and that's really important what you say. And as well, in addition, something we thought about was that if you give something as a member benefit, that it needs to be like not perfect, but yeah, it needs to have a specific quality so that really is seen as a benefit. Yeah, and then things are changing. Folio is very agile. That's really important. And that's why before we like create a concept, we wanted to check with this group like which way we should go. Like, do we rather want to think about a collection somewhere that's specifically on trainings, or should we focus on other things? Like, we just wanted your input before we continue and go into a specific direction. Thanks. Maccabee.
There's some training that I semi-regularly consult for Viewfind, that the Viewfind community did. Some of it is about 4 or 5 years old, but most of it is still perfectly relevant. I think that depending what part of Folio you're looking at and what the actions are, still perfectly relevant in some cases. As long as it has a date on it or a file release on it, I don't think the value is zero, although respect different opinions on that. What I really wanted to say, though, is most of those trainings are about an hour long, sometimes even longer. Doesn't matter. Because there is a transcript for all the video recordings. So you can just control F it, find the thing you want, and then watch the 5 minute segment that you're actually interested in. So which there would have to be transcripts anyway to be accessible. So I don't think the length is necessarily a, I'm not suggesting the trainings have to be long, but if they are, I don't think that's a problem. As long as there's an accessible transcript, you can just search for it. Going the extra mile would be to bookmark it in the way that YouTube can do. With sections, and then that makes it even easier.
Thank you. The transcript thing is an important thing. Yeah, so that would be something that we should need to add because, for instance, at the moment for our training that we do, we don't have transcripts. So yeah, thank you. That's important. Steve.
A couple of things. One thing is maybe to begin with, it's more of a volunteer call to get people to just like buy apps to see what people would contribute, and kind of like first to see what people are willing to do and then reassess after that. The longer term, I mean, there are things to think about would be even not necessarily a paywall, but in a way like that, like think about having people do in-kind contributions if they can't institutionally fund much of a membership for Folio, but like you could also do in-kind work. And just by doing the in-kind work, you get behind the the firewall type of thing, like giving some incentives. But there, and sorry, I have several little things here, but the other thing that we found with training that is an issue we have to remember is accessibility. So even if you do transcripts, it's not necessarily accessible for employees or staff. That there also has to be like written or some translation into like you have to you use these keys in order to activate this, or that type of navigation for people who may have visual impairments or other issues. So, once we start taking on like a training thing, we have to consider the audience and not make it exclusionary. And that could be that's an extra dimension of work, and we run into that. Last thing is that we could think about contract language. Like we have like little short snip. We took videos, like an hour training thing we got from EBSCO, cut it down into like little short, like 3 minute things where you're doing actions, which really like 3 minute snippets. Like this is how you do an order. These are the things you do. But our contract doesn't, we didn't set up our contract to allow us to share those. So if people are contracting with a vendor, maybe we think about having clauses that these can be shared with the community or something like that. That would be something to encourage in the future. So sorry, that was a bucket of stuff. But
No, very good things. Yeah, thank you. Noted. Kristen.
yeah, I'm just thinking about this on who's going to do the training and why they would want to do the training or want to take their training and make it more available to the community. So if you're a member and then you take extra time to do something for the community, I agree some sort of in-kind contribution could be beneficial. Otherwise, it's like, well, those of us who've been around the longest now have this like training burden that we put behind a paywall for other people to have to pay for, but we're not getting the recognition or the compensation for it. Like, I don't know if people will feel like they can do that. I mean, the other option, if we really want to make a robust training situation and we want to put things behind a paywall, is then we should be able to use some of that revenue stream to support the training. And that might be something that, like, if we want to really make it be accessible, or we know that there's a lot of free stuff that's out there, but it's not full-fledged, or it's somewhat institution specific, or it's not accessible. But then I don't know if we're already feeling like our budget is really tight, where would we get the money to sort of pay for some sort of a training coordinator or our training manager?
Yeah, that's relevant as well. Thank you, Kristen. Tom.
Thank you for these considerations. I think this is really nice framing for identifying the tension and to see if we can find a sweet spot where things will work and are feasible and are compelling. One of the things that has come up in previous discussions is that implementation training would be really hard because if it's a 3 hour intensive, if it's institution specific, et cetera, that would be hard to community source. Many institutions likely also have an implementation partner, and those are the ones that are going to be in great spot to do that. So I think that looks like a let's stay away from that. I do wonder, maybe some of Folio's dynamism is also an opportunity to deliver training because with each flower release, what's new and what's the latest? Or if you have staff who are new staff who are starting 1 to 5 years after you've implemented Folio, it does seem like there'd be some value to have something that's not the videos that we all maybe recorded 5 years ago when we implemented, and we'll all get there in time. Did the group talk about like here's the late it's like release based, or you had something in the slides like special task based training? To me, that really resonated. I wonder if you could say more on that.
We talked about, and I'm not sure. Yeah. Wanna? I could start, and then you're gonna just looking into the faces of my colleagues. We talked about that because sometimes, like, the product owners do some kind of, this is the latest release, new functionality trainings in the special interest groups. Again, those are freely accessible to everyone. Those could be collected in a space, and that would be the benefit that we collected and link it there. Those are accessible, I think, and I think nearly every SIG does those. Yeah, and I don't think that anyone necessarily could do better than the product owner herself or himself. Maybe we could add like specific how this is how I use it in my library combined with my workflow or something like that. But good thought. Paul.
Yeah, Yes, it was a point we were raising, or Martina was raising, that we have a lot of material in our box of Folio, and how we could reuse it or make it, more visible as training material also maybe, because for all us it was not clear how to approach the training in terms of how get things done and how don't do another big operation system in our community that is involved in making very qualitative high qualitative content for training and to start with what we have. And that was the first point. The six have a lot content that is very relevant. And I was adding a point of our institution as we manage the working group documentation. And it may be the working group documentation would be a good point to summarize what we already have, maybe. So we were thinking about that also. So, and my question for Tom, you say like task-based material was coming up. What do you think about, also what does it mean for you, task-based in this scenario?
Oh, I was repeating what I thought I heard, and I'm looking at it might be.
Reframing it, you, sorry.
Yeah, it might be on slide 3, live reports and practical presentations. I mean, I think from a Stanford perspective is how do we make data import do what we want it to do without choking? Could be something
Okay.
that others
So,
might
yeah,
find
I
relevant.
was in the right direction. Good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Rachel.
I had a part question, which I think Tom kind of alluded to on whether we're focusing here on training for people who are implementing or their ultimate users, and whether we might want to approach those two kinds of training slightly differently, especially in terms of training for the users. Once someone's done an implementation, I think that would be the kind of thing where you could have something unbranded that talks through the general ideas on Folio, but an institution is always going to have to take that and update it for its own context and how they have done that implementation. But that might still be useful for them as something that they can then kind of brand to their own organization and instance as well. I was also then going to mention I'd like the idea of kind of in-kind and for folks who might not be able to afford or pay for membership but might be able to contribute significantly to the training, specifically in mind with accessibility with a small a and making that available in different languages. I'm assuming that all of our documentation is in English first. There is probably a significant amount that is also in German, but beyond that, making that more available for users more globally in different languages and scripts would probably be something that we would be very willing for an organization to take on and use as kind of in-kind contributions to this as well.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's a good point, and I really like the idea of like having differentiation between the trainings for implementers and the trainings for users. Sean.
Yeah, I want to add on my thanks for all the work you did and framing it this way. It really allows us to think through the issues. One of the reasons we want to do this, of course, is to attract members. And so I wondered if that changes any of the framing, because it seems like a lot of our conversation is about extant members, but what we want to do is set up a way that new members would want to come and join. And then my second question is, did the three of you consider more ad hoc, ephemeral training? And here I'm thinking about like a stable of subject matter experts that we've, through the membership, they're prepared to put on a conversation with a group that wants to learn a specific thing. So it doesn't result in any kind of long-standing video or document, but just a conversation. Did the three of you think about that at all? Thanks.
That's a good one. I think only briefly at this point. I know that there was an onboarding group, and we recalled the work of that group where they thought about, like, we have new members, how can we help them? And there was like this idea of having real mentorship and help with, like, you're new and I can explain you this and that. But in that context, we discussed that, but it's definitely something we should pick up again and make a dedicated point of that. Thank you. Yeah. Because that's, I think, maybe even the most helpful because it's very focused to the user.
I was gonna invite Steve. I hope not unfairly. If you were so articulate and passionate at the last meeting about the community really needs to have offerings of value, now that LC, for example, so not specific to LC, has been through an implementation, do you think ongoing training, is there something in this idea of ongoing training that would make it worth an institution like LC joining a membership? Joining with membership or upping their membership?
I see things we could contribute in here, and we absolutely could learn from, like, some of the training. I mean, we tend to be, I hate this here sometimes, sorry, and I hate throwing it out here because we're a library at the end of the day. We do library functions, but the size of the institution brings some uniqueness to it, and so we end up having to, like, really specialize and customize our training. And but on the implementer side, I was thinking about things that would be really useful to share, or are things like the mappings to instance, the mark mappings to instance record. We invested a lot of resources in that. Like, just basically, it would have helped us early on to have a getting started in standing up a Folio instance, and even that getting started stuff. I know we didn't want to do implementation from the beginning, but that's something you can go back and look at later, like configurations. And how you do, like, mappings to, like I said, the instance, but also some instructions on how to do data loads, and some honesty about many of the issues around doing data loads too, so that people don't waste a lot of time trying to make it do something that's not necessarily doing very well. So there's things there. I think there's things we could share. There's things that we would be interested in as well if we'd seen. Yes, we want to entice people to join, but maybe what we do, maybe one way of doing that is to do some open houses. Sorry, I'm going to jump up back over to Sean, your remark, but maybe we have, like, quarterly open houses or something. We show what's behind the firewall with people, and we do something for people who are considering. But having some extra value that we wouldn't get just on the open internet is key for us being able to, like, pay more for this. That's very key for us, at least. Sorry, Tom, I don't know if that was all over the place, but I just.
Thanks, Steve. It was maybe not a fair question. That was very helpful. I really liked your frame of some honest news or some honest training that you may also not get completely on the open internet. Maybe that's similar to what Paul was saying about staff members showing their faces and giving frank opinions. Can I throw in one more theme that I th has come up before? So Mike Gorell at WolfCon about 3 4 years ago, and then Peter, I think you've done it the last 2 years, is like a welcome to Folio session, or how does Folio work? Seems
Yeah.
like that would be really good training for the community to offer,
Yeah.
both to certainly to members, and maybe to more.
I would agree.
And that's, I think, when Kirsten heard that, she says, "Oh, that's not training, that's onboarding." And in her very precise mind, she was like, "Oh, this is that's we should have that in a different discussion, but it's a great idea." So I do. She was positive, at least in one conversation.
Yeah, true. And I think that's something we tried to start with this onboarding group that we had. Yeah, I have noted a lot of things. I have 13 items here on my list. So if you have anything else, please let us know now or later. You can contact us anytime, and then we have something to take away, I think, a lot.
Have you thought about, sorry, just one last thing. Have you thought about or any discussion about mentoring? Like doing some, and I think that plays a role sometimes in training.
To be honest, I think not as as a huge discussion point in our discussion we had so far, because we try to focus on what do we have already, what do we got to get things bigger and scaled, and we were like, okay, we don't have personal resources to do trainings a lot. So, and we see a lot of content we already have in the community and try to get these things together at first. And we hope it involves more to mentorship or quality training we as community build and make. But at the first, we were like, okay, what could be a starting point for this discussion? And I heard a lot of very good points, and I think we in this group should discuss a lot in terms of yeah, how to get started to organize it or to have it implemented in this community as a process that is also going on for the six maybe, or for the working group documentation somehow. Howish, I don't know yet. We don't know yet, and I think we as a group should now focus on to have this, yeah, Martina said, 13 items put together to a better concept, so we can talk about it in the next or in the few next meetings.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think, and I will mention it the last time, the onboarding working group really had great ideas, but then I think at some point it was just too difficult to be able to keep up with this kind of mentorship and help that was envisioned, because you really need people who have the time, maybe work dedicated on a team to do so. So that's something I think we can take away, because as I just mentioned, if some maybe existing group can pick up some tasks, or if we create a new group, I don't know, but yeah.
And my mind is at this comment at this ad hoc trainings, and I love this idea, and also to have a group, a conversation about what's going on and discuss how to implement some workflows or so, or to have a workaround for this institutional matters. And yeah, but let's get started. But
Yeah,
for me,
thanks for all your thoughts. Sorry, Paul.
yeah, no, Martina, thank you. For me, some question came up as my, in the role of my institution as a consortia, and I would love to hear other institutions, what are the limits or what do you think of how to get training material shared in the community as content we created maybe for some customers or for me, a public institutions with a lot of libraries next to me that we give trainings to, or the BVB is giving trainings to. I feel like we see potential to share, but I don't know for others. I can not speak for others, but for us, it seems like we would love to have a room to share stuff as a for your member benefit. And but I would love to have a discussion with others who make trainings, give trainings. What do you need also from a community to share it in the community for new members or for the members in the community?
Maybe while others are thinking, I can definitely say I think for GBV that we would be willing to share our material as well. As mentioned, it's not perfect and it's in German. And we cut things to snippets, not of a few minutes, but maybe, well, when we train ERM, we have a snippet for agreements for the local knowledge base, etc. And we would share that. What would help me, for instance, was something that we discussed and mentioned as well, is this: what are the training concepts? Like, how do others train? How do you like combine trainings with, do you let people do exercises? Like how, where do you start? And some things like that. That would be important from my perspective. But maybe others have opinions as well.
But maybe a side discussion for the group too, as a takeaway. Okay.
There was a comment in chat, Paul. Did you see that? Sorry.
Sorry, I was, thanks, Matina. Paul, are you suggesting that Folio members could each share their institutional trainings in some sort of like super library open to other members?
In speaking for my institutions, I think we would be willing and happy to share our material for others. So it is in German, but I can see ways to have at least an English subtitle for it or other languages as well. If we speak of training clips. And yeah, for us it would be doable, and we would be happy to have something in this community to share for others.
And even if it's in German, sorry, Tom.
I think that's a really interesting way, low overhead way to generate what's already happening in the community and pull it together and just find the institution that's most like yours. And see what they went through, whether it was a year ago or 3 years ago, the library would have some value. That's really interesting.
And even if you're doing the training in your a native language, I mean, there is a community for that, and so I think that that could be already helpful without subtitles as well. And what we are already doing is, for instance, like Paul's colleagues have been participating in our training, so they just visited our trainings, and that would be something that could be done as well. That we say, okay, you can take part in a live training if you want to. We could invite maybe people who are new to the project, and if there is just the training in one of the institutions, we could maybe invite those people even directly to a training session. So, but then we would need to know when and where and who.
So, but in terms of time, I think we should go around and close the discussion for this matter. And thank you, Martina and Petra, for the discussion. And we go further for the WolfCon update with Jesse and where is she? Ooh, I don't see it. Ah,
Jennifer.
Jennifer. Ah, here. Yeah. Sorry.
Hi,
Didn't see you. And Jennifer. Yeah.
folks.
The word is yours.
So I know you have one other agenda on the item. How long would you like us to take?
In fact, we did not. We have
Oh.
this last 60 minutes for me in Germany is could be for yours.
Righty.
I need to drop off at about 5 of the hour. But
Alrighty.
yeah, take it away, Jennifer.
All right, so I'll share my screen. So we did, and we already shared, I believe I shared these maybe Friday. I forget when. So we'll just go through these and see where we get. So we are a big planning committing team this year. As you can see, I'm not going to read everyone, but thank you to everyone who's on this list. This is an amazing group of people who are volunteering to help make WolfCon be successful, and that everyone has a great time in Prague. of course, the OLF projects that are represented, Folio, we have GoKB, we have Viewfind with the trademark R, OpenRS, ReShare, BitCurator, Orc, and Library Data Platform. So, and then we have some people who even stayed on from the planning in Kansas. So we're a really great group. We are using a new platform for this year rather than SCED. SCED turned out to be with very challenging. So we're using Feedloop. There's some advantages. We can build portals specific to audience, like a speaker portal, sponsor portal. The process for the whole call of submissions or proposals is much easier. We can have people review sessions. We can have multiple review rounds. We can remind speakers when their submission is incomplete. Yay! So it's just a much easier workflow for us on the planning committee. We can also create multiple registration types. Here, think pre-conference versus conference. We're still learning Feedloop, so we'll have more information to share on that after the conference, definitely. The university, where are we this year? We're at the Prague University of Economics and Business. Woo! It's just across kind of the train tracks. From Old Town. As you can see here, that's the Charles Bridge right there. But this is where we're going, which it does look nice. There's a glass staircase. It's all very nice classrooms. Very exciting. Here is Vaclav, who is our local organizer, with Wolfie in front of, oh gosh, who is that? I forget who the statue, Thomas Wilson? No, Woodrow Wilson. I don't know why it's Woodrow Wilson. Anyway, there he is in front of the statue on a nice summer day with Wolfie. So first floor, we have two floors. There are access to elevators, the classrooms, the amphitheater on the first floor, and then there's an upper entry to the amphitheater on the second floor. Most sessions will take place on the second floor. Pre-conference sessions will most likely be on the first floor, and the Folio shoulder meetings are on the second floor. Reception. Ooh. So this is the National Library of Prague. It is a former monastery with lots of hidden cubby holes, apparently. So we have the hallway and what is called the glass room, which I don't think it's a room like of glass. It's probably just a room that has some windows, but it's very nice. Now we don't have access to this fabulous Baroque section of the library that you do have to pay for. That is a separately run by the National Library, but we're very excited. So it will be very nice. It's about 20-minute walk from the university, but you can also take public transportation. And here, buffet style, just like before, and all of that. Prague, what to expect? Excellent public transportation. You may need to pay for large luggage. Tickets are sold by minutes or all day. There is contactless fare payment, ticket terminals, an app. The app is really amazing. But you also have ride sharing. Bolt is much cheaper than Uber. You can also try bike sharing, Ricola, and the Next Bike. So unlike Kansas City, we don't have a hotel block. But as you can see, there are many, many hotels in Prague. Prague is really a vacation hotspot. So don't worry. You do have to worry about probably getting swindled and maybe, I don't know, a few of the money exchanges, but maybe I shouldn't say that. Oops. Anyway, that's kind of a Prague thing, but Otherwise, it's very friendly and walkable and all of that. So, where are we with planning? And I know I've seen some stuff in chat. I'm on my little laptop, so I will get to your questions after this. Call for proposals is open until March 25th. So, we really, really need to advertise this and encourage people to submit sessions. We're also going to put up a draft submission guidelines for people. And Viewfind Summit, WolfCon 2026 would be the official 2026 Viewfind Summit. Yay! So they will be in one of our afternoon slots and live streamed, as that is what the Viewfind Summit does. So what we're working on, and I think Jesse, did you want to talk about sponsors?
Yeah, sure. And then I'll have to drop off, so I'll pass it back to you.
Okay.
So WolfCon is dependent on both people coming and attending and paying registration fees and our hosts trying to keep costs reasonably in control, but also on sponsors. And we usually have a handful of sponsors from the from vendors around the world, as well as some from our communities. And we're working on sort of securing the usual sponsors that we've had in the past, but also would love to hear from anybody of other suggestions of companies or organizations we should check in with. And feel free to ping me in Slack or email me. Any way to get in touch with me or Jennifer if you've got ideas there. In particular for CC, in the past we've gotten sponsorships from the Arlef group as well as from the German networks, and I'll reach out to folks at both of those relatively soon to see if that's still a possibility for this coming year. I think that's it for sponsors for me. Thanks.
So other than that, we're going to do visits of the library at the university, and of course there's the Wolfie contest. We really want to be mindful of assigning a moderator for especially solo presenters, but also those who are virtual as well. And of course, the moderators will we're hoping for some volunteers to support people when they need assistance, whether that's online or in person. So help us advertise. Everything is taking place within FeedLoop. Submission guidelines should be up either this week or next week. And that's it. Yay! So let me stop my share. Sorry, I went through that rather quickly because I know we're a little short on time. Kirsten.
I have two questions. One is, what are the registration costs? Are they on the website already?
They are, oh my gosh.
They're $3.95 for early bird and $4.95, I think, for whenever the early bird ends.
And what is the virtual registration cost?
Excellent. I believe that's going to be 95 this
Okay,
time.
yeah, it's a little like I have to enter my email to kind of see them apparently. So I was a little surprised at that. This is a little off the wall, but I was just thinking about this membership conversation and membership value. And I don't think that this will necessarily be ready for this year, but we've heard people say, like, this WolfCon registration is just not really a big draw for us. I wonder if instead of making it like every member gets a WolfCon, registration reduction, if some of that membership money could go towards like scholarships that would be competitive for people who are members that they could apply to. Like I'm thinking about sponsoring and, I know this year we're going to have a pretty much smaller number of folks that are able to go, given that it's in Europe, given that our travel budget's going to get cut. And that's just a thought about, and I realize that there have to be a committee who would need to like look at these things, but that might feel more beneficial, even though it's not something that everybody can get, but that if, members would be eligible to put somebody up for a scholarship.
And I think that's a great idea, especially for the pre-conference workshops where you have, oh my gosh, who, I forget her name. She's the implementer SIG. She did a whole folio training that people loved. Yeah, and I believe she's going to do that again this year. Maybe an entire day of like introduction to folio. I think, topics for community council, it's whatever you want to propose. If you need a session longer than 50 minutes, just reach out to Jesse or myself. Right now, we just so there's short sessions and then there's just the regular 50-minute sessions. So last year, we only had three 80-minute sessions. So we just kind of took it off the registration types. Yeah, Magami.
I was happy to see that the short sessions are being offered again, like 15 minute. I think that could be a draw for some folks who haven't presented before, and aren't necessarily prepared to do a 50-minute presentation, but that could be something to share to entice more submissions.
And what we're thinking of too is we want to reserve at least one room for an impromptu lightning session. But we were kind of going to do it kind of unconference style and see how many people. So we'll probably have a Google form so that people who are virtual can also sign up since it would be moderated. So we are thinking of some other things like that as well. But we do want to push the, regular sessions as much as possible.
Jennifer, I have to say thank you so much for coming to present on this and for all of your work on WolfCon. It does not organize itself, as we know. So I'm also looking forward to trying to get you to do like open mic night at for like comedy stand-up, because I did not realize that you have this facet to you.
Well, I think you have to have a sense of humor when you organize WolfCon.
Helps. All right. Well, I would say for community council members or for everyone on the call, please think about what would make great, compelling topics for Prague, because we have there's about a month, no, 3 weeks until the deadline. A month. There's almost exactly a month before the deadline for proposals. Woohoo! I can just imagine doing jazz hands. Woo! Prague. Woodrow Wilson.
That was actually Churchill. I looked at
Oh,
the
that's
statue.
right. It was Churchill. I knew it was someone. It was like
Yeah,
one of them.
they wouldn't care about Woodrow Wilson.
And
I
I'm like,
wouldn't,
but
man.
why is there a
Because
Churchill statue like right there? I don't get
he was Europe's greatest leader back in the World War II days.
Oh, what is he with economics and business, I guess.
Well, I mean, he kind of was the last bastion of hope for the resistance against the Nazi regime until America and the Soviet Union turned the tide of the war. So, yeah, I can understand why they held him in high regard.
Well, anyway, now he's been he's now a friend of Woofie, so it doesn't matter.
Paul, should we wrap up?
I think we should wrap up. The next meeting, who could make the meeting notes next time? That would be important. Some volunteer first.
I'm sorry, I don't think I can commit. I know I'm due,
The
but
next one is on the 9th
let me see.
March. Yeah, ninth.
Yeah, let me look. Okay, go ahead and put me down.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephen. Okay, then have a good day and thank you for your time. See you. Bye.
Bye.